Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Wednesday morning. The panel's ready to go. They've already started. We just have to catch up, folks, so let's try. It's the 2nd of November. Good morning and welcome. It is, oh my God, a beautiful sunrise this morning. I was driving and I had to stop and take pictures of the sunrise. Absolutely gorgeous this morning. The Cubs, even the series, and then I wake up the next morning and there's a beautiful sunrise. It's going to be a gorgeous day.
I'm sorry. All I can think of is about the FBI.
All right. Well, okay.
Me too.
Oh my God.
That is now
outrageous.
That over.
It's just, I mean, it's like, what has happened? They have totally blown their credibility.
Anybody who worries about America becoming fascist.
Right.
There it is.
You have Comey on one hand and Trump on the other. We're right. We're down.
So
it's the federal police.
Skip the introduction.
I told everybody they were ready to go.
Wait, we're going to get yelled at.
Oh, this is true.
They're all talking over each other.
Right.
That includes you.
What I was going to say, though, is that the whole thing about, that's why I was looking for nice things this morning, because that whole, I was reading all this FBI stuff after I had done the stories last night. Good Lord. So we're going to get into all of that this morning. Let us begin. And Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Hey, but I'm unhappy.
All right. We're going to get into everyone's unhappiness. I don't think you're any happier about the situation, Rosemary.
I'm not. It's outrageous. We have to do something.
Rosemary is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. She joins us this morning. And Libby Post, do you have an opening statement?
I think I already did.
Okay, good.
Road to hell in a handbasket.
A political consultant, Libby Post. So good morning, everyone. So let's talk about this story, which is on Friday now. We remember, just think back a few days ago to Friday, where James Comey.
Well, that's the thing about all of this. Just one second.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Like every day our life changes, does a 180. Every single day in this campaign, it does a 180. First, it's the groping. Then it's the FBI. Now it's the FBI again, but it's this constant turnover of stories. And we're all like in a pinball machine.
So
that's how we feel, the electorate.
Two things. One, I do want to just quick mention that the killing of the Iowa police officers, which is a tragic, awful story, we will talk about that. We don't know a whole lot. There's a media briefing expected in a few minutes, and hopefully we'll know a little bit more as to what's going on. But that was a horrible story that happened in the early morning hours of today. So when it comes to the FBI, we have James Comey saying that he is going to look once again into this investigation and find out what's going on. And then all hell breaks loose, right? Everybody's complaining. People are saying, both Democrats, Republicans are saying, we need more information. We need more information. We need more information. And then the FBI yesterday comes out with, a 46-page report that was a FOIA request from 15 years ago.
Right.
15 years ago.
And they did it in a tweet.
And they sent out, and it was regarding the pardon, the Bill Clinton pardon of rich guy, Mark Rich.
Right.
Since when did the FBI start tweeting?
Well, there is that.
It's an automatic, the tweet is automatically connected to their release of documents. And the way the system is supposed to work is that if there are more than three requests for a particular document, it's automatically put up in a public spot. Very nice idea. The problem is that they haven't done it for a year. Then they started in October, actually started it with a report on Trump's father. So Trump has been slimed by this FBI stuff too. And then now the Hillary Clinton impact from reopening a very controversial case about pardoning a man in the last days of the Clinton administration who is definitely a crook. He is an international mobster. No question about it. The FBI was annoyed at the time and apparently remains so that they were not consulted before Bill Clinton let this guy go.
You know, I don't accept everything on face value. So we hear that, as you just said, Trump's father was slimed by the FBI also.
Well, Trump was slimed because...
Trump was slimed. Yeah. Okay. So you can think what you want, and I can think what I want. And what I see here is a purposeful... Because I'm astounded by what the FBI is doing. And what I see here is a purposeful... Okay, we'll take a mild shot at Trump and then we'll really let her have it in his day. So, and that's a possibility, right? I mean, it's a possibility.
How can one make the argument that this is unbiased? Oh, we're just releasing information. You can't.
With 5 days to go on election?
Right. You can't. I can make
Well, that's it. In 5 days on an election, I'm sorry, Rosemary, but there is also this point about, you know, we keep on talking about the release of this information. The FBI put out last night their mechanics, if you will, of putting out this, as said, it's put into a queue, and then it is once it is approved, it goes out. There is not some part of that program that would prevent information that is this also comes in. I know you both want to talk, but let me just set it up for the listeners. This also comes at the same time that we hear the New York Times is reporting that Comey, on two or maybe three cases, depending on who you believe in this report, has said we have to back off because it is an election year. Go.
Okay. There is an explanation that it does not is not predicated on the idea that Comey wants to help Trump, and that is that Comey is incompetent. It's not much better, but he could be incompetent. He has lost control of his house. That I believe that it's way below his pay grade deciding what gets put out. But he has people who don't stop to think or to say, hey, this is about the Clintons. Maybe we better check this out with the boss. That never happened. Think about why he put out the original message on Friday, opening or looking at new emails. That was to cover his own butt because he was afraid people in his own house would leak it. He has lost control. Any way you look at it, whether he definitely is a partisan for Trump or he's just incompetent, the man has to go.
Let me argue the other side of that. It's possible he hasn't lost control at all, right? It's possible that the head of the FBI knows what he's doing, is a Republican, has his Republican...
Then he's a partisan. That was my other choice. Yeah. He's either a partisan Trump or he is incompetent.
Sorry, I didn't hear
or he's a partisan Republican, not so much Trump, but... Because this isn't... The polls are showing this is not... Really undermining
affecting down ballot.
Right. It's about the down ballot races.
The Republican National Committee is completely tied with Trump. That's their line that we're separate. They are together.
Yes, but knowing that Trump's going to lose. However, doing this helps the down ballot races, and it's about maintaining control of the Senate.
Alan? Not so fast, Libby. Knowing that Trump is going to lose. I don't know that.
46-46.
I don't know that.
This morning, 46-46.
I don't know that.
28% of the Republicans who voted early in Florida voted for Clinton.
Did you hear that report last night?
I saw that, and we just got a letter beating us up for not mentioning it earlier. We're 3 minutes into the program. People do what we want.
You know, we need to, get our fisticuffs going before we get into substance.
Well, but I'm not sure. I wish I was, Libby. I wish you were right. All I know is that I have got my... I've got my travel people looking into the best way to get to Galway. I'm told it's from Hartford Airport.
Aer Lingus.
Yeah, Aer Lingus, the cheapest.
Rates and everything.
Yeah. And I'm going to apartments for rent, Galway, now. Don't you see? No, but I'm scared to death, to be honest with you. I am really scared. Now, I had somebody write to me yesterday and say, come on, Alan, cut it out. Oh, really? The polls are showing it's going his way. I'm sorry. The polls are showing that it is going his way.
Not every poll is showing that.
No, but they're very close.
There are still polls with her Libby, 4 to 6 points ahead nationally.
Yeah, but there are plenty of polls, 1%, even 1%, 1%, 2%, and 3%, may I warn you, just suggest. To you is well within the margin of error on all these polls.
May I ask you this question?
Certainly.
Are you confident?
Yes.
You're confident in a Hillary Clinton victory?
Yes,
you're not concerned?
Oh, I'm concerned about voter turnout. I'm concerned about people becoming complacent, although I don't think that that's the case at this point. But, you know, it's about looking at the state polls, looking at the Electoral College.
But even those are changing so rapidly.
But he has a very slim... route to 270. And so I am confident in a Clinton victory. Well, I am not confident that we'll take the Senate. However, I think all of this is about the Senate.
Well, it could be about the Senate.
Well, that's just my opinion. That's your opinion.
Wait. I know you're very anxious, but I'd love to come to that period in my sentence, and then you...
Notice how I'm staying out, so you two are
you
talking
are the model
of each other.
Of decorum.
I'm trying to
this
take
is the master
criticism
and grasshopper
to heart.
Here having
yes.
some
yes.
dialogue.
You are the model of decorum, Rosemary,
Thank
and
you.
I appreciate that so much. Not. Okay, so...
Listeners will defend me. They asked me not to jump in.
Yeah, well, no. Listeners love you, and that's great. I am
to who?
James Comey.
Okay.
I am telling you now that this is not a good situation. People are writing us letters and say, how dare you? The Romney Obama race was even closer. And but I'm telling you, I don't like the momentum here. I don't like the fact that half the American people are saying this guy Trump is a good guy. With everything we know about him.
Well,
no one's really saying that. They're saying he'll shake up things, he'll change things.
No, I think 30 to 40% of the people do think he's a good guy. I think, you know, we
only the basket of deplorables
thinks
that.
But that's a lot of people. We keep seeing, and they're all coming out of their rocks and from underneath their rocks. And
no,
we keep seeing more and more and more of them.
I don't like that.
Joe doesn't like that.
I'm sorry, but when you have somebody at a Trump rally chanting USA
no, I agree.
To the media.
Obviously,
when you have,
there is a faction,
I mean,
but it is not. That
here.
Does not make up the entire 40%.
I'm not, you know.
And Rick says, dear panel, is there a day Alan wakes up when he is not in fear about something? Rick, never.
No. No, that's
never.
That's ingrained.
I get it.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're
not
out
to
get you.
It's in our DNA.
Yeah, it's like a Woody Allen thing, right?
It is. It's a very Woody Allen.
What do you mean? How'd you do?
Yeah, right. It's in our DNA. It's okay.
Did you want in on this?
No,
well, they were going
or...
back, and you said you were holding back.
Yeah,
so
we're
I wanted to know,
we're
we were waiting
you.
For you for your comment.
No, I'll wait.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
What are you waiting for?
What a moderate.
What exactly are you waiting for?
Are you
for?
Want an engraved invitation to jump in? Is that it?
I think we covered it. It's an indefensible position that Comey has gotten him, not position, an indefensible situation that he's gotten himself into. And I think he acted... covering his own butt and then didn't think about it. And now circumstances, including the release of this information about Mark Rich.
Do you think he knew about it?
I do not think he didn't know about it. I think that's way below his
pay grade.
His
and
pay
I
grade.
Say he knew about it.
I don't believe that.
Well, he's in charge of the FBI.
You're in charge of WAMC. Do you know everything that every little...
Absolutely.
Well, that's fascist.
And there lies the rub. But, you know, the thing is that he may not have known.
He knew.
But there seems to be this culture. If he didn't know... Then there's a culture within the organization saying this is okay to do.
Well, this is
he's either partisan or he is incompetent. Either one is unacceptable.
If he didn't know, he should have known.
Right.
Well, the thing, and this isn't. Well, I don't know.
By the way, Mark Rich
dead.
Mark Rich
is dead.
He did not deserve the pardon.
No.
Here's
right.
the thing, though. That was
still,
a huge controversy
dead.
When it happened. Yeah. Clinton was wrong. I don't think Hillary Clinton had anything to do with the pardoning process. His wife, Mark Rich's wife, was a big donor.
Right.
So she might have. I don't know. If I were reporting this, I'd be looking to see if she has gotten any money from the Rich estate.
And by the way, it's a much bigger story than just Mark Rich. Because there's a whole lot of other rich guys, and I don't mean the family name, who were pardoned at the same time, including somebody from our very area.
Yeah, but the controversy on Mark Rich, though, was that he was truly an international thug. We've written stories about him all over Europe and Asia. And the Clinton pardon came in the last days, and he didn't check with the FBI. He's doing the same thing Comey is doing now, which is not to follow procedure, and that opens you up to all kinds of criticism.
Part of this is arrogance and hubris of the position that you hold.
Correct.
You know, and there's a great editorial photo from the Chattanooga Free Press this morning that has Comey's wallet with his badge, and it says the Federal Bureau of Insinuation.
Wow,
and John writes, John is a critic, and he writes this morning the FBI election rules, the entire point of the policy around elections from the Justice Department is for the FBI and other agencies in the department to act as they normally would, even when there is an election. I know no such thing. In fact, I know exactly the opposite. It does not mean stop doing your job until the election is over. There is no evidence suggesting that the Twitter feed fix was timed to influence anything.
Hold it, John. That just doesn't purport with the facts.
No, it doesn't.
The usual procedure of the FBI is to not comment about investigations, not even to confirm or deny there is an investigation. Everything about their handling of Hillary Clinton's investigation has been out of procedure and out of the ordinary. He announced it in July with a long preamble about how terrible she was, despite the fact it wasn't criminal. And now he has come back out days before the election to say we're still looking at her. Not procedure. The Twitter feed was suspended for 1 year before October. Why would you reopen it and put highly sensitive material for both parties, by the way, although people here think the Hillary one is more incendiary. But why would you open it at all a month away from an election? It just defies explanation or rational explanation, I think.
And Peter writes, Alan, on the subject of Alan, criticize him all you want. I love our fearful leader. Fearful leader.
Who's that?
Me.
Oh, you.
Because, you know, I was criticized for being fearful.
That's not, I don't know.
Okay.
Let's move on, shall we?
I don't get that.
What?
No, I think it's a nice letter. I just wanted to say so.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Joe, what else we got?
Okay, so my question to you is... Now we are seeing the Hillary Clinton campaign. It was actually the first article I sent. The Clinton campaign is moving on. They've been battering the FBI for the last couple of days. And now the plan is not to do that and to make the distinction between Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Good move?
In my shallow way, I thoroughly enjoyed yesterday's rally at which she trots out the once fat
Alicia
and much
Machado.
Defiled Miss Universe, who sounds exactly like Sofia Vergis from, you know, Modern Family.
Vergara.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Thank
Vergara.
You for the correction. Yeah, everyone needs an editor.
She's
and
great.
She sounds just like her. And
well,
says,
I watched
you know,
it.
I did too. I thought she was great.
I watched the whole thing real time. I thought she was magnificent. And what my favorite moment came when she lost her place in the speech that they had obviously given her. And she said, I lost my place. And everybody cheered. You know, she was just a wonderful off-the-cuff.
See, I don't think they gave her that speech. I think it was written out because her English is halting. It's a second language.
I think they gave her the speech. She was introducing Hillary Clinton, for God's sakes.
I don't think she needs prompting on liking Hillary and not liking her tormentor.
No.
The thing is this. She's not running against the FBI. So she has to go back to Trump. The thing is that they have pivoted from not dealing with him at all before Friday, which is what they were trying to do, and just have her come out as the erstwhile incumbent in the race.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to, but they can't go after, she can't go after the FBI. She's not running against the FBI, but all of her surrogates are still doing it.
And they should.
Right, absolutely.
And they absolutely should.
All right, we're gonna take a break.
Sorry.
Pause there. We'll take a break, and we'll be back and continue our conversation with Alan, Rosemary, and Libby next. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning at 9:35 on a Tuesday morning, and we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post making up the panel this morning. We have some letters, and then we'll go back to some other topics.
We've had a lot of letters today, let's see here. Okay. At John says... he tweeted and he said, nonpartisan pollster on Clinton lead, data says 6 and steady. That's one group of data. There's another that says exactly the opposite. Okay.
No, Trump's not ahead by 6 in any poll anywhere at any time, Alan.
Oh, no.
I think your point is right, but you're really exaggerating.
No,
now.
I thought the way I was reading it, I thought the point was Clinton was ahead. Did I read it incorrectly?
Clinton is ahead, but you said there are other polls that show the opposite. There are no polls that show the opposite.
Well, there's an intuitive poll. Anyway, I think people who say...
An intuitive poll?
Yeah, an intuitive
poll. Is that like Trump who uses himself as his best advisor?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Lisa says, what's the mystery? Everyone, including the DOJ, the media, and the FBI have been protecting Hillary Clinton. Obviously, she should have been indicted before. Many others are in jail under the Espionage Act for doing less with classified information. The Clinton Foundation was supposed to be an organization for Bill Clinton's library. It's morphed into a huge pay-for-play scheme. Saudi Arabia is one of its biggest donors. And so when you write and say there's never another side presented on the roundtable, will you please remember that we read these letters?
I didn't know we were getting those from Kellyanne.
We're getting them from somewhere, and I would say that.
I believe it's a Russian troll who wrote that in.
Today, says George, the real clear politics average of current polls shows Hillary ahead by 1.7%. This is a flawed measure because it does not take the sample size into account. For instance, the NBC poll sample showing Hillary ahead by 7 percentage points is 13 times larger than the LA Times sample, which shows that Trump is ahead by 6. The average weighted by sample size shows Hillary ahead by 5.8, not 1.7. This is significant in the context of the statistical error and the quoted margins of error. There's more to polling than the weighted average quoted here, but it is much better measure than the straight average that Real Clear Politics always reports.
I just feel like I went to a math class.
Well,
And that was a lot more than 142 characters.
And Dennis, yes, it was, and I'm sorry for that. Dennis says, fascism. Alan is worried about fascism coming to America. Chris Hedges wrote American Fascist 10 years ago. Alan has obviously never heard of Gladio or NATO's European stay behind armies. Donald Trump's fascist rhetoric comes as a big surprise to Alan, but not to anyone who's chosen to do a little research or take his or head. Her head out of the sand. Do I have the right to reply to respond to that?
Yeah.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Can I?
Are you off the Looney Bird thing here? Oh. I mean, Donald Trump's fascist rhetoric comes as a big surprise to me is certainly out of line. Take it back.
We've been saying it
Well, I sure have been saying it, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you write anything you want. But
it's not the rhetoric that's surprising. What's surprising to us is the fact that people are responding to it and rallying around it. That's
I'm not surprised because, as I said to you guys during the break, if you look at France and Madame Pen and you look at Germany and the decreasing margin of victory for Angela Merkel, you see that this is not confined to the United States.
It's not confined to this time either. If you look at George Wallace, if you look at Huey Long, we've had demagogues before that have amassed a huge following despite odious leanings.
Yeah, okay. Mike says, polls such a bad thing for Hillary? It's such a bad thing for polls to show the race tightening for us Clinton supporters. Maybe this will energize her base and get us out there to ensure that the megalomaniac doesn't become supreme leader of the free world. Well, there are those people who think, and I'm one of them, that people who confidently say, there's no question she'll win, are making a big error. I mean, I think, you know, this is all about turnout. There's a big article in the Times today that's saying African-Americans aren't turning out based on their pre-polling things in the same way that the Clinton is going to need in order to win. It's a huge article in the New York Times this morning. So if people think this is a close race, they may come out. If they don't, they won't.
Let me just say this. When it comes to the ground game, and I just had friends come back from Florida who were on the ground doing door-to-door. When it comes to the ground game, Clinton has it all over Trump's people. She has a ground game. She's turning people out.
So what?
And that's what it's all
that's
about.
What
it's about having
about.
A field operation, making sure people get out to vote.
I think you're making a big error here. I do.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens on Tuesday.
Well, no, it may well be that what you want happens on Tuesday. But I don't think it's the right move to say, ground game, this game, money, and therefore she's going to win. This is a close election. These statistics are frightening. It's a very close election.
Okay, I think you're both right, but you're operating from a different point of view. You're trying to turn out the vote. Libby is saying Clinton is doing a lot to make sure the vote is turned out, especially in contrast to Trump. Both of those things is correct.
Right, and I know, Alan, you want to make sure that people get out to vote, and I agree with you.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, that was anticlimactic. We modified that. Yeah. All right. Nice job in the peacemaking business there, Rosemary.
I know. I stay quiet, I can mediate. Wow. Yeah.
It's so just not you, but
I
that's
know,
okay.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm taking a new tack today. What else you got?
Okay. Alan, tried to listen to the roundtable this a.m. Okay, so John is not listening. He tried to listen, but he had to turn it off after 10 minutes. How come no mention ever of the criminal activities of the Clintons at all?
Because there is no criminal activity. They have been investigated and found wanting. The evidence is wanting.
John makes reference to you. These women are going to cause the end of WAMC. They are disgusting, to say the least. I hope
and we're
all,
fat, too.
I hope you all enjoy...
And nasty.
You belong in a basket.
I hope you all enjoy the blarney in Ireland. That's what.
Oh, he put him right in the basket of deplorables. He's going to.
And
these women, is he talking about us?
He's talking about you and I.
Yeah, yeah.
You and me. Sorry.
Yeah, there's no question.
You know.
And he's not there anymore. So if I say, he's not going to hear it because
he's
not there. He already went away.
Good.
Yeah, gotcha.
I thought
all right.
The president gave a wonderful speech yesterday, talking to men, saying, you know, guys, let's face it, she's way more qualified than him. You got to get over this woman thing. I've accepted that my wife is not only as smart as I am, she's better. It was very funny. It was very down to earth. It was great. Yeah.
All right. And so, let's see here. Ted says, Chicken Little. Calm and confidence, maybe a little. In other words, be confident, maybe a little. See, don't you see?
We all need to be vigilant. We all need to be at the seat, at the edge of our seat, but we can't be hysterical.
By we, you mean Hillary supporters, I take it, not everyone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Susan says, Comey, maybe in a backhanded way, Comey has taken the heat off the FBI being in the tank for Hillary Clinton. And then it goes on over the required number of characters.
In the tank.
140.
Yeah, right. All right. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay. Rosemary, math matters.
I agree.
Yeah. What would
But it's hard to present it in like a lot of fast reading on radio.
From Daisy to answer the Russian troll. Thank God she had a private server. It never got hacked like the State Department and the Defense Department.
Right. All of Comey's speech in July, all that part of the speech about how there's no assurances, we don't really know for sure if it was hacked. There's no evidence it was, as opposed to other servers in the government.
High roundtable panel, has anyone given any thought to Trump paying Comey to investigate Hillary again?
Paying him? Is that what they said?
Bribing him?
Bribing. Oh. I know somebody I know quite well who has that theory. I don't believe it. I would be
shocked by that. I mean, I don't like what he did, but that's beyond the pale.
Okay. And then... Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. And Matt Mann says, goose stepping to Canada. I don't fly, so I can't join Ireland. The government interfering with our vote is spawning the new dance craze, goose stepping to Canada. Justin Trudeau, please turn the light out with the last Patriots over your line. Come on. Good morning, panel. I heard yesterday that Mitch McConnell said that if Hillary gets elected and the Republicans keep the Senate, the Supreme Court will remain with 8 because the Senate will not approve any Hillary nominees. Alan, I'm scared, too. We have got to have Hillary and we've got to get the Senate. Over to you, Rosemary.
I want to say that has become an increasing threat. It's more than just McConnell. It's more than just Cruz. Grassley
they're
is
all
saying
running
it
on
now.
It.
Right,
there are laws. One of our listeners sent me a piece that there is an 1869 law that requires that the Senate perform and that keeps the judiciary supplied with justices. But obviously, there's a movement that's taking hold here.
Yes.
And there are many advantages. You don't have Hillary's people on if you don't. And if you have a smaller court, it's a whole lot harder to move forward.
Well, not only that, it gets even worse. Because somebody wrote us a letter yesterday that said, okay, so it's 4-4 right now. But if you get rid of the most obvious people who you will get rid of, it'll be back to being a conservative court with a even smaller majority. So it'll
Correct.
Be seven people on the court. And that may be the obvious thing that they're looking to do right now. All right. And Cindy says, question, good morning, Roundtable. Please share the details of the FBI tweet and situation surrounding it. I'm out of the loop. Well, we've already done that. But basically, the FBI has been tweeting. And go ahead, Libby, and tell us what they've been tweeting.
Well, they tweet the information that's been made public. And so that's what they did with this.
About Mark Rich.
About Mark
Check
Rich.
Further and right. find out all the papers on the pardon
right.
of Mark Rich.
Right.
Most of which, by the way, are
redacted.
Heavily redacted.
I know.
And
heavily
unusable.
Redacted. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll go to more letters. We'll talk about some other topics. And but we owe Rob a break, so we'll do that now. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Tischler and Patch Dental, Woodstock, offering sleep apnea solutions with home sleep testing and oral appliance therapy as an alternative to CPAP treatment. TischlerDental.com. Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York. Purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, Chinese and Asian antiques, fine art and estates, marklawson.com. And the Whistling Kettle, Troy and Boston Spa, offering freshly baked quiche with a variety of herbs and spices, including vegetarian offerings, thewhistlingkettle.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel, Alan, Rosemary, and Libby. And we'll go back to letters.
Okay. Janet writes us, Weld on Maddow. Good morning, panel. Did you hear about William Weld on Maddow?
On Rachel Maddow, yes.
It was amazing.
Night,
yes. Yeah.
He all but endorsed Hillary for president.
Oh, no, he did endorse
her. He did.
He said, I am here to stand up for her. Right. She should have more than just the DNC doing it.
Had
she
nothing but praise great. For her and discussed how... Yeah. terrifying Trump is.
He also threw his boy out under
he
the
did.
Bus.
He did. He threw his campaign under the bus.
John says, Alan and Rosemary, it's a bad idea to perhaps jokingly refer, not jokingly, to those whom you disagree as Russian trolls.
No, I think there could be Russian trolls involved. And by that I mean people paid by the Russian government who monitor social media and respond back. That's an actual thing Putin does.
Mark says, given Trump's megalomaniacal reputation in the worst of case of a Trump victory and a Republican Senate, will Trump really be able to govern any more effective than Hillary would? Well, it depends what style of government you adopt. We can go back to the late 1930s, early 40s to see about that. Anyway,
this is Ralph Nader's fault too. The idea that one party's the same as the other—that's so not right.
Right.
Yeah, well, don't even get me started on that guy.
People just spew it back out, you know, 16 years later.
John says, in the final analysis, Thomas Jefferson was right. People who believe they can be born free and ignorant believe that which never has been and never can be, a democracy presupposes an informed electorate. Without that, we all lose. And William says, I'm voting for Gary Johnson.
Good for you.
God.
And
that's not an informed vote.
Well, look.
Excuse me.
They write them, I read them. And the one thing that bothers me is they say, you never have the other side on your... On your show, we do all the time. That's why we read the letters.
Yeah.
That's why it's interactive. And Mary says, "Dear Roundtable, I wonder how many people remember the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was confirmed with 52 votes. When was the last time we can say this of any nomination or legislation? It is strange, as it is ironic, that many conservative traditionalists, by supporting Trump, have been more instrumental in undermining the very American institutions they claim to hold so dear than any other group in our history."
Okay, I like that letter.
Okay.
That was good.
And Mitchell says, "The previous ladies," end quote, email, "I would bet that the male bonehead that wrote the email about the ladies on the panel actually was listening. Why? Ego." Well, I knew he was listening.
We're no ladies.
And by the way,
nobody's called me a
nasty
lady.
Nasty women,
in a really
for God's sake.
Yes. Time. I'm fine with that.
Yes.
You're what?
I'm fine with being called a nasty woman.
Oh, nasty. You're a nasty person. Yeah.
I got to get one of those T-shirts.
Yeah. I want one. Bring me back one.
Yeah.
Okay. Not to be offensive. This is from Devon.
Oh, he's going to be offensive. I know it.
Yeah. Here's an avid listener's opinion. Love you all. Trump supporters like me, the basket people, are mostly poor, unlike you educated folks laughing out loud. I struggle to pay my bills and I'm self-sufficient. That is not dependent on the Fed. You got to realize what we want is a real, in capital R, person who makes mistakes. One would, well, you got
You're
what you want.
You're going to get one.
One who will change things and bring
mistakes.
Jobs. Hillary seems so fake, plus she's a Scorpio like me, and I tell people would hate it if I was elected. Also, the nation is divided on what happens after the election regardless. Well, I could answer all of that, but I'm not going to anybody
don't,
else.
Don't.
Okay.
No, I'm too tired.
Okay. Right. Going to Galway, says
we
Rick.
We can't vote for Scorpios?
What is he? What is Trump, by the way?
I don't know. I have to look that up.
Rick says, going to Galway, Alan, we Americans, we don't run to another country. We stay and make the change we need. America is the place where other people came to because of oppression. After this, where else are they going to go? Rick and Needham, and we've gotten several letters, by the way, who say, Alan, you have to stay because, you know, Roundtable
would
be very
interesting. Because what would happen to the station?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's all about that.
Something's going to happen to the station anyway.
Yeah, I know.
I am 75.
You know. I get that.
I deserve to have a few, you know,
are you retiring? Are you announcing your retirement?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No. Ed says, in consistency with his other letters, hard to imagine we'd be here right now if Bernie were our candidate. All right. And
it would be worse.
Ho-hum.
And Jones says, a close and frightening election is no legitimate reason to vote for Trump. You vote for Trump and you vote for hate. Every other contrived reason is a smokescreen for your own bigotry and a lack of humanity. There's only one evil here, and that is Trump.
Ooh. You know, 4 years ago, I was as rattled and upset about the election, which was seemingly as close as this one is. And now I look back and he wouldn't have been so bad.
Absolutely.
Trump
right.
is just, yeah.
Bush wouldn't be bad. I mean, when you think about it, none of the Republicans that we've had so far, Ronald Reagan, wouldn't have been, would be so bad compared to this guy.
It's true.
They pale in comparison.
I want to sing out. One listener asked me if there were any Republicans at all that I admired. I have to say that Mitt Romney, I have revised my opinion. He called it on Putin and on Russia as an enemy.
And on Trump.
He called it. He was put down for that. And he was indeed the first big name Republican who came out against Trump. Mm-hmm. He was criticized for it. He consistently has been against it. That's pretty good. That's two stands you gotta applaud him for.
Donald Trump will win the election, and here's why, says Tim. Stranger things have happened. Thomas Dewey, George Pataki, Governor Jesse Ventura, Congressman Sonny Bono, Governor Arnold, and Congressman Fred Grady Gopher from Love Boat. Polls can be wrong. These throngs of supporters at Trump rallies are going to vote. I don't think pollsters are reaching them. That's a possibility.
Well, Bernie had throngs of people at rallies, too. Mm-hmm. They did not vote.
Well, Bernie did very well let's remember that.
Well, Trump is doing very well.
There's no need to imitate me.
Isn't that a form of flattery?
No, not in this case. Okay.
No, that would be plagiarism is the highest form of flattery. That's what I was taught in journalism school.
Oh, a lesson that needs reinforcement.
And, yes. And a Hillary supporter, Jim, says, as I heard Ted Cruz say during the primary, there are only two ways to run, scared or unopposed. Exactly. Mm-hmm. My position, exactly. And Heather says, as a parent and educator, I am actually terrified of the closeness of the race. Teachers are struggling to talk about this election in classrooms generally, and specifically in diverse classrooms. How does a teacher handle a class discussion where one student says he wants Trump to build a wall and another is of Mexican descent, and then way over the number of allowable characters?
My son is an eighth grade teacher, and he said the plus of this election is that the students all know about it, all have information to debate. And it actually has opened up a lot of discussions. They're sometimes as crazy and uncivil as they are in the society as a whole, but that it's been a teaching lots of moments.
Edward writes, Alan is right, the election is too close to call. I voted early in Massachusetts for Hillary. If I voted today, I might leave it blank. The recent email controversy recreates the end of Bill Clinton's administration, mired in Monica and Whitewater. Tragically, Hillary could have cleaned up this mess a year ago.
You know what's interesting? Did you see how Trump was sending out a message orally and in written flyers saying if you want to change your vote,
yes.
call?
And yeah. I called the number.
It's there's no way to change a vote. No,
there are seven states. Seven states you can change your vote.
Really?
In fact, in I believe three states you can change your vote up to three times.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So out of
I
think there's 36 states that have early voting, and in those states, I believe the number is seven. That you can legally change your vote, which is what he was doing was actually accurate. You can do it. And I think in at least a few was that you could do it up to three times.
One of the shows last night actually called the numbers. Libby said she just did, and there was no way to do it. But it might have been one of those states, not the seven. Yeah.
I called.
I don't know.
It was on Rachel Maddow, and I think maybe on Lawrence O'Donnell. And I called the number, and it was like you couldn't get through.
I saw it as a fact checking thing, and, mm-hmm. and they were saying that yes, indeed you could. So
interesting
for what
tactic.
That's worth, but I can look at it tactic. Again. But anyway,
Again, I credit Kellyanne Conway. She is a smart woman.
By the way,
don't to evil.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Rosemary.
That's okay.
Don't be sending me letters or sending us letters. Don't be sending us letters and saying please don't read this on the air.
Yeah, then don't. Because
that's sort of the idea. Yeah.
Right. Don't send them to us. And by the way, to the same person, one's enough. You know, several are not wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, take a shot. That's it. Laurie says, Comey's motive, poor judgment. Is he unbalanced? So partisan that he can't control himself? Malicious? Wants to make a name for himself as the man who brought the Clintons down? Bob says, it's scary. No matter who wins, it's scary. The Trump people have come out and found one another. Thanks, and that's from Bob. And Henry says, I still feel confident in the Clinton campaign organization. At HRC rallies, there are efforts to register votes or to get them to vote. They have a ground game. No such activity at the Trump, quote, concert tour stops. Also, what's about the latest endorsement from a KKK newspaper? Oh, and Sarah says, don't go to Galway. If Trump wins, shudder. Those who can't flee will need the round table more than ever. Couldn't we just move someplace like Vermont and grow free-range maples and products and succeed?
There's enough people doing that in Vermont.
Yeah, right.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Nice to have you back. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the group. And it's you're very low energy. I'm going to use a Rich Honan line. You're very low energy today, Rosemary.
Jeez, do you want me to jump down your throat?
No, you just... No. I'm hoping everything's okay. I'm just concerned
about
you.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay.
And I can point out for those who are watching on our video stream... That Rosemary has a very colorful shmata on today.
That's exactly what it is.
A very colorful shmata.
It's Mexican, so I don't know if that term is exactly right.
What, you think
right,
there are no Mexican Jews?
You think there are no Mexican shmatas? There's shmatas in every culture.
I teach international reporting, so I've been trying to teach an abject lesson that I come in outfits from around the world and expect the students to notice and ask, but they never do.
It would be fun. I think it would be fun shopping internationally with you.
Oh, yes, yeah. It would be.
That would be.
I believe it is my personal obligation as a rich American to help the struggling economies in the many countries I visit.
Okay, so we have two stories that I want to get to, and we have a lot of letters to get to, so we have a chock full few moments. So let's get chock full of nuts. That's right, chock full of nuts. Let's get through as much as we can in these.
And that was a shot, wasn't it?
No.
Okay.
It just came flying into my mind. Chock full, I said, chock full of nuts. When I was doing my PhD,
makes a heavenly coffee.
When I was doing my PhD at NYU, there was this, there was a thing on the corner, and yeah. They're chock full of nuts.
Chock full of nuts.
Yeah,
and didn't it have the smoke coming out of the?
No, but it had cream cheese sandwiches. I remember that because after 5 years of
working
on a PhD, that's a lot of cream cheese.
To the races.
Yep. This is the chock full of nuts.
Eh? Okay, let's get back to.
Okay.
Let's be serious.
All right. Yes. We know we actually have two very serious subjects. Okay. One, we'll go to the Vatican, and we'll talk about Pope Francis, who was speaking yesterday. Waiting for this to load as I vamp here. Was speaking yesterday and was talking about this issue. Now, he has said this in the past, but there is a ban on female priests, and he
really a ban.
That is what the exact wording was. This is what he said that the ban on female priests is likely to endure. Teaching women, the Roman Catholics. Church's teaching that women cannot be ordained as priests is likely to last forever, Pope Francis said on Tuesday as he flew back to Rome from Sweden. Francis had traveled to Sweden for a historic ceremony commemorating the year leading up to the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. He was, so Francis has said before that the Catholic Church ban on ordaining women as priests is a closed matter, but questions arose about his intentions after he established a commission to study whether women could be ordained as deacons. In a news conference aboard the Pope's plane, a Swedish journalist referred to Archbishop Jacqueline and asked whether it was realistic to think that there might be female priests in the next few decades. According to reporters who were on the plane, Francis responded on the ordination of women in the
Catholic
Church.
What he said was, hell no.
The last word is clear.
I thought he said something like, not hell no, but...
I paraphrased. Oh, okay. Hell no. He said, yeah. You can be deacons and mothers. The mother of God is really important in our religion.
Yeah, what a sport.
Thanks, Pope.
Yeah. Okay, is that...
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
I thought you were going to have more to say on this
issue. I'm going to, to insult all the Catholics in our listenership, but there are similarities between the Catholic Church and the Republican National Committee.
How do you figure?
No women at the top.
Well, right, and this has been an issue for a long time. The Pope has addressed the role of women in the church, which I'm not going to argue with you on that part of it being sufficient, because I don't believe that it is in any way, shape, or form. But at least there is an effort being made on the issue of women as priests. However, I wish there was more of an argument. I don't understand what the argument is.
The argument is that Jesus' disciples were all men. Right. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like, men and women really hung around together a lot at that time in that place. It's just, come on, there's a problem in the Catholic Church with women.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with
Big
you at
problem.
All. I'm not, I said that, didn't I?
Problem with sex, problem with women. It's... Okay, enough. The Jews are staying out.
The two Jews are staying out of it, leading up to us, Rosemary, who I think we ultimately agree with each other on this. I don't think. I don't quite understand.
You found us out.
No, that's all right.
No comment.
You were out getting coffee, for God's sake. No, it is. But my question is, there is, let's forget for a moment of what's right, okay?
Let's go with practical.
Let's just go practical.
Keeping the priesthood filled.
So you can actually have priests that serve in the church, so you're not shutting down churches, you're not shutting down portions of an archdiocese.
And you're not molesting children. Let's bring that in, too.
Do you think, and which of course immediately, which then comes with this discussion, is should priests marry? Even if you're going to stay with male priests, should they then be able to marry?
Yes, and they should have children. They should live completely normal, world-filled, God-filled lives. And the Catholic Church does not like that.
And that, let me just say, as a minority member on this group, let me just say that's something that was not always verboten, right? From the very beginning, women may have been verboten, but marriage
was sexually active for many years. It's just, it isn't anything Jesus or God ordained. This is all from the early leaders of the church, and it is a problem. I think the Protestants, are they the only ones who get it right? Women are full and equal partners in the leadership
the Jews
of the church.
Too. We have
some
women
parts
rabbis.
Of,
except the Orthodox, no.
Yeah, the Orthodox
and
are
the
a little
Orthodox,
crazy,
no,
too.
But
are you sure there are no Orthodox women rabbis? I think there may be.
There might be one.
Yeah, maybe
I think
one,
somebody
yeah.
just got ordained. But
the
conservative
rules
movement,
on,
the
rules
movement,
on,
Reconstruction movement, they've all been ordaining
women
rabbis
newer
for a very
forms.
Long time.
Okay.
Sure.
So, yeah.
But I think in all religious faiths, there could be more women.
Yeah.
How's that?
I think in all aspects of public and private life, there should be greater involvement by women, equal involvement with men. How's that?
I like it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I can't think of any exceptions.
We ran the interview yesterday with Gary Trudeau.
That was great, by the way.
Thank you.
That was fabulous.
Thank
it was
you.
A fabulous interview.
He had a great line in there where Justin Trudeau. They said,
"Are they related?"
No. I said, Prime Minister, your cabinet is made up of 50% women. Why is that? And he said, because it's 2016.
Yeah, right. That
oh,
was a great line.
I mean,
right.
It's like, that's a great line. It's a great line.
It was.
Okay, so let's go to the other issue, which is I've had this on the docket for a couple of days now because the story started on... What's today? Wednesday. The story started, I believe, Monday afternoon, which was that Chicago had the worst weekend of killings and murders ever in its history. Now, looking at the story with a little bit fuller numbers, a brutal year continues in Chicago. The city's spiking homicide numbers have resulted in grim milestones and headlines. It took only until the end of Labor Day weekend for the city to have more homicides this year than it did in all of last year. There are only two American cities with bigger populations than Chicago, New York and Los Angeles. And even if you combine their homicide rates, the tally still lags behind Chicago. Recent days have seen a wave of bloodshed that give the city still more tragedy, and with it further reminders of how staggering the violence has been this year. Over the weekend, police say 18 people were killed, making it the deadliest weekend for Chicago this year, exceeding the 13 people killed over the long Labor Day weekend and the 13 killed during Father's Day weekend in June. Police statistics released Tuesday show that the weekend violence pushed the city's homicide total north of 600 for the first time since 2003, a figure that comes with two full months left in the year. And at its current pace, Chicago could have more than 730 homicides this year, possibly eclipsing the city's highest death toll in nearly two decades, which I don't really like such statistical reporting when we're talking about deaths of human beings.
But. Well, one really wonders whether this is not now a sort of open city where people go to. Even in tiny little Great Barrington, there was a point at which one of our areas had a whole bunch of dope dealers and dopesters and others who came, and it really took a concerted effort on the police department's part to move them out. But they were coming from everywhere. In order to be there. I have a feeling some of that may be true. And one other thing on your statistic, I think I just read in the paper that major crimes were way down in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Overall, violent crime rates are far below what they once were and are nowhere near historic highs. In 1990, the country had about 23,000 homicides compared to about 15 last year during the same span. The U.S. population ballooned by 72 million people. We were talking about this in the break, and the point Rosemary made, which I thought it was a really good one, is that when you read this article and you look at this, there is really no clear explanation as to what could be going on.
The closest as you come is that it's all happening in the south and west of the city. And then there's Donald Trump's explanation that it's Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's fault. There are strong, although not as strong as Trump says, laws about guns in Chicago. However, Illinois is surrounded by states where it's easy to get guns.
Absolutely.
And as Alan notes, Chicago always has been a city that's kind of a place you go and get lost. It's in the giant and in the middle. Have you read Eric Larson's book,
yes.
Devil in the White City?
City,
that's
yeah.
exactly what this is about. And that was at just before the turn of the last century. The same stuff was going on.
So there are times, here you go, but there are times when government has to be very, very aggressive about stopping crime. While I will be considered, people will say that's an outrageous statement. There are times when you have to have a very strong police force, a very strong police commissioner, and you got to keep your eyes on the cops to make sure they're not part of the deal.
And I agree with Alan completely on that, but it is a balance, right? I mean, you have to obviously have that community trust.
Right.
You have to continue to restore community trust, and you have to combat the violence that is going on and do a better job as to what we're doing.
And right. It sounds to me like a lot of this is really gang related, so that if gangs are allowed to flourish, you're going to get this kind of thing, and it becomes just a war. That's all it is.
Well, what I was going to say was basically echoing Joe is that we have to have a real emphasis on community policing and building the relationships between the community and the police where people don't feel like they can't speak out. And I think large part of it is gang violence, and it's a lot black on black violence, and you know
I've not seen a lot of writing about this, but I wondered if the surge, because Chicago has not traditionally been a city with, well, it hasn't had rates like this in forever. Baltimore used to be it,
right.
but there have been problems with police brutality, horrible problems mm-hmm. with police brutality, and police have been criticized. Is there a reaction? Are they cutting back? Is that part of what we're seeing?
Well, part of it is they might not be going into the neighborhoods like they used to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
yeah.
They've hired 970 officers, and we're still seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's. Unfortunately, because of the NRA's hold on our lawmakers, we don't have a lot of study about gun violence, and so we don't know more.
Right.
Thank you again, NRA.
That's right. That's right.
The Although
GOP
the city
has
does
said
have
we
very
can't
strict
do that.
Gun laws.
But again, the city doesn't exist alone. There's all kinds of transportation hubs all around it.
You know, we can't let Rahm Emanuel go altogether as mayor here because, right. you know, policing comes from the top down. If your police commissioner isn't doing the job, you fire him and you get another one. If there are laws that need to be done, you have to get out front on all of this. We have our own little problems here in Albany, nothing like what Chicago's talking about. But we have guys who come along, they pee on our front door. We take pictures of them. We give it to the police. We've given them about five of them now. And they say, well, we found the guy and we gave him a ticket. Okay. Well, you know, again, we have a very good mayor in Albany now. But the mayor is quite clear that she wants peace with people. And that's why I have a feeling.
You've got to let him pee. You don't get
on our front door?
Yeah, people have to go.
People
get to
your front
peaceful.
Door and pee would be all right?
No, I'd put a hose on him.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
I want to end here, which is, and we're out of time, but we are seeing numbers increase in Los Angeles and Philadelphia. So while New York is decreasing, there are other cities that are seeing similar problems, not to the rate, obviously, of Chicago, but still.
Well, as the heroin use goes up, I guarantee you part of it is just the drug wars and the profit motive from the drug
mm-hmm.
wars.
We're going to end there this morning. Thanks to Alan and Rosemary and Libby, and we will be back. And we appreciate your letters. Roundtable@wamc.org.